God calls Abram. God calls Abram. Living in this part of the UK, whenever I see that, I always think of Abram.
Yeah.
I nearly said us Wiganers, but I didn't want to start a fight. Eric hasn't even looked up at me saying that. But and also, it's also a bit tempting. Genesis 12 is the passage we're looking at. I was writing my notes, and every time I went to write Abram, I went to write Abraham, but he's not Abraham yet. So God calls Abram. We're going to look at that. What God calls him, God promises him, God's offspring, and Abram's response. So God's call, God's blessings, or God's promises, the offspring, and Abram's response. So God's call. Verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So God calls Abram. He calls him from something and to something else. He says, leave, come, go from your country and your kindred to the land that I will show you. This is an act of sovereign grace. Abraham has done nothing to deserve this call. Abraham hasn't merited it through a life of holiness or of good works or of faith. Indeed, the book of Joshua says this, Joshua 24 verse 2, Joshua says to the people of Israel, long ago, your father Abraham and of the father, your father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abraham was a worshipper of false gods when God called him. Abraham was a disbeliever when God called him. Abraham did not know the one true living God until God called him. It's called, if you get your little catechism, it's called the effectual call. It's where God, Lydia is a beautiful example as well. God opens her heart in Acts chapter 16 to understand the word. This is the beginning, really, of the outworking of God's promise. God promised Adam that a seed would come, who would crush the serpent's head. God promised Noah that he would never flood the world again, that there would always be seed on the earth. And now God calls Abraham particularly and says, I'll give you a land and I'll give you an offspring. So this is what I meant in the opening when I said this is the second half of the Bible. So remember, in February 2015, Eric, Barry and me, we went to Holy Trinity Platt in Manchester, a brilliant church. And the speaker went through the Bible in a day with us. And he said, remember, the Bible is in two halves, Genesis 1 to 11 and Genesis 12 to Revelation 22. Because the Genesis chapters 1 to 11 are what we call, you might know this word, the prologue. It's the explanation. So this is happening. Well, this is why we'll tell you this prologue. It explains to it. Genesis 1 to 11 tells us of the disasters, the fall, the flood, the Tower of Babel, sin, misery, pride, rebellion, men and women, humanity glorifying themselves, forgetting God, turning away from him, despite his acts of grace and kindness and generosity. The writer, Moses, gives us all that and says, and now God's doing this. This is how God's going to put it right. He calls Abram out of darkness into his marvelous light, as 1 Peter chapter 2 says. This is God doing his work. God is not in a hurry. God leaves it a long time. It's a question we might ask. People say, why did God leave it so long? I mean, if you take the genealogies, the lists of names as they are, It's 4,000 years from Adam to Christ, 2,000 from Adam to Abraham. Why did God leave it so long? Well, that's up to him. It's up to him. God could have just sent a savior. Adam and Eve had a child. There you go. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. But that's not up to me to tell God how to do things. We shouldn't speculate. God has revealed his will in the scriptures. And the scriptures contain all things necessary for salvation, so that what is not read in it, nor proved by it, is not to be believed or to be thought necessary for the Christian's life and faith. That's a posh quote. It's Article 7 of the Church of England's Confession of Faith. You might believe it. Yeah. That's what the Church of England professes. Beautiful, beautiful article. But how we've fallen. And don't throw rocks. Seriously, don't throw rocks. But the scriptures contain all things necessary. This is God's plan. We trust him. Because ultimately this is about revealing the will of God and the person of God to us. So this is the start of the second half. Don't give up. As any Liverpool fan who was around in 2005 knows, 3-0 down at half-time in Istanbul. And came back and won the Champions League. That's for you, Andy. That's for you.
I was only 18, John, when that happened as well.
I was at uni. Yeah. And even in Manchester, people were happy for them. I couldn't understand why, but there we go. But yeah, God promises something to Abraham. He promises blessings. Verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God shows a lot of generosity here. He promises to bless Abram, promises to bless those who bless Abram, and he promises to bless all the families of the earth in Abram. Would be generous enough for God to bless any of us. But God says, no, I'll bless you. I'll bless those who bless you. And I'll bless everybody, every family in the world will be blessed through you. Imagine if God said that to you. What must Abram have thought? You know, would have been hard to understand this. But this is the generosity, the grace, the kindness, the benevolence, the beautiful grace of Almighty God. So he promises to bless them, to bless him. But he tells him what those blessings will be. Verses 1 and 7, he mentions a land. Go to the land that I will show you. And verse 7, to your offspring I will give this land. They're in the land of Canaan. To your offspring I will give this land. The land of Canaan is in the Middle East. If you look on a map now, it will be the state of Israel. Next to Jordan, that sort of area. Again, I'm treading delicately there. We'll get to the controversial bit in a minute. Some people call it Israel, some people call it Palestine. It's been called any number of names throughout history. I have a book called, and they've called it, The Land of Many Names. It's a history of Israel through the centuries, because it has been called many names. Traditional Christian name, I suppose, is the Holy Land. So there you go, that's what we mean. That part of the world, you know, what I'm talking about, next to the Mediterranean. He promises a land. He promises them a land, and he promises offspring. To your offspring, I will give this land. To your offspring, I will give this land. So God is generous and kind. He's going to create a nation, which means a people group. He's going to give them a place to live. And he's going to give Abraham offspring or descendants, we might say. The promise, blessedness of God. And now we're going to look at, point three, we're going to look at the offspring. Who is it? Well, Scripture will answer that question, I believe, like this. Physical offspring and spiritual offspring. And they overlap. They overlap in a person. The physical offspring, of course, well, I say of course, I shouldn't have said that, forgive me. Abraham has sons, and peoples in the Middle East draw their family tree from them. The Arabs from Ishmael, the Jewish people from Isaac. We'll get to that in a bit. If you don't know, bear with you, don't have to understand it now. But the Jewish people draw their descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Later on in the Bible, the next book of the Bible, Exodus, there's another covenant through Moses with the nation of Israel that says you'll be blessed if you obey us and you'll be cursed if you disobey us. That's what Paul means in Galatians 3. He says the law is not of faith. The law was given and says do this and live. God had already promised a covenant of grace, and here it is. Here he says, I'll give you offspring and you'll be blessed. Just by believing. So the Jewish people, under the covenant with Moses, that actually is what the Bible means when it says the Old Testament. A testament is another word for a covenant. The Old Covenant is the covenant with Moses, and only the covenant with Moses. The other covenants are not the Old Covenant. Yes, we call... The first testament of the Bible, the Old Testament. We do that because of tradition. And it's not wrong. Don't throw the word out because of tradition. But Genesis, strictly speaking, though it's in the Old Testament, isn't the Old Covenant. It comes before that. So yeah, the covenant with Moses is the Old Covenant. So, physical offspring. However, as we read in Galatians chapter 3, ultimately the offspring is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jewish, who is a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Indeed, that's the first verse of the New Testament, isn't it? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Matthew traces his family tree back to Abraham. Because he is the one who fulfills this promise. He is the offspring who will have the land and indeed all the lands. The Lord Jesus Christ is the offspring of Abraham. And in him, we are the offspring of Abraham. Yeah. That's how Galatians 3 ends. I'll read it to you. I didn't write it down. Talks about the offspring of Abraham. I'll read it all. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Because Jesus Christ is the son of Abraham, who fulfilled all the promises, and so in him we get the blessings of it that were promised by faith. That is, he is the true offspring, and he is the physical and spiritual son of Abraham, and in him we are the sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. And Jesus gets the land, and indeed all lands. Revelation 11 verse 15, that famous verse that made its way into the Hallelujah chorus. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. And Psalm 2 puts it beautifully. You know, I have asked the Lord to give me the nations as an inheritance, and God gives them to him. All nations bow before him. All nations belong to him. He is the one who is the offspring of Abraham, who fulfills all the promises. He earns them, and you get the blessings promised here in this passage by faith and faith alone. That's what this passage teaches. That's what I believe. That's what I think. A fair reading of Galatians 3. If you want to know how the covenants of the Bible work together, Galatians 3 is a really good chapter to get your teeth into. Because to me, several systems of Christian teaching, systems of theology, collapse when you understand that passage. I used to be, 20 years ago when I became a Christian, it was 2002, so it was 21 years ago now, good grief. It was 9 months after 9/11. Israel and the Palestinian groups were at war. It was on the news every week, and Christians were very sincerely, but mistakenly, in my opinion, getting the Bible out and saying, oh, see this here. It's a promise that's being fulfilled now on the news. President Bush is this, and Islamic extremism is Gog and Magog in Ezekiel 38. And I think all that, as sincere and as honourable as the people were trying to be, I think they were mistaken. And I think it did lead to, because obviously the Christian voice in America now isn't as powerful as it was 20 years ago. I'm actually tempted to say thank God for that, to be honest. Because it led the American government to follow policies, wars in the Middle East, that did not serve the Middle East or us very well at all. Indeed, one pastor I know, he said, the Middle East is the mess it is because of 150 years of British and American foreign policy cock-ups. I think that's a bit of an overstatement. Yeah. But yeah, I believe that's what the offspring of Abraham is. It's about Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not about, I'll say it, the modern day state of Israel. It's about Christ. Christ is the sum and substance of all the Bible. It's all about him. It's all to the praise and glory of him. And we have to keep that the main thing. Yeah. We have to. Whatever our politics, whatever our views, it's whatever our, wherever we are in life, it's Christ, all of Christ, to the praise of the one true Christ, who is the image of God, the true son of Abraham. So Abraham gets these promises. Now, Abraham actually here, Abraham responds. He obeys. He obeys God. He goes and leaves. Verse 4. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He's 75. And he worships and he calls. Verses 7 and 8. To your offspring I will give the land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel in the west and I in the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord. And what did he do? Called upon the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yeah. Abraham has an encounter with the living God. And his encounter with the living God makes him call on God's name, makes him worship the living God, and causes him to obey God. This is what we call salvation. Indeed, in one very real sense, Abraham became a Christian. Because Jesus is the offspring who will bless all the nations, and God believed him. He saw the gospel far in the distance. The analogy is you're in a dark room and you see a candle, you know, like one of the big rooms in Buckingham Palace, and there's just a little candle in. So the room is there, but you can't see it. When Jesus comes, he reveals God fully. So it's like being in a room and somebody switches the light on and says, oh, wow, all this was here. Well, Abraham, in the providence of God, is the one in the dark room with the candle in. But the room is still the same. Abraham is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. The way everybody is saved. There is only one way to be saved, and it's through Jesus Christ. And Abraham, as we'll see, is a work in progress. As we say, he's a pagan. He worships false gods. He worships in ways that God finds abhorrent. We'll come back to that. A famous story about Abraham that we all miss. Abraham came from a part of the world where child sacrifice was common. You sacrificed your first child, you killed them, to God, to the God of the nations. Bear that in mind as we go on. Abraham is a work in progress, like us all, but he has a true faith. He calls, he worships, he obeys. Is that you today, my dear friend? You have a far greater blessing and privilege than Abraham had. Oh, you do. You have no idea how privileged you are. Abraham had this little one promise from God. You've got God's whole book. You're actually more privileged. Do you understand? Sorry, I'm not pointing fingers, but you're actually more privileged than the disciples. Oh, yeah, you are. People say that. They're well-meaning, but they say, oh, I'd love to be on with Jesus the night before he died. I'd love to be with, oh, imagine being there on the day of Pentecost. It would have been brilliant, yeah, but we've got better. Yeah, we've got the entire Bible. They didn't have that. I don't want to. I like living in a world where Paul's written the letter to Romans. I like living in a world where Paul has written Galatians and we can see how God worked everything out. That's what we've got. Yes, we have the same Saviour as Abraham. Yes, we're saved the same way as Abraham, but we have far more sense of it. It's been revealed fully. So your responsibility to respond to the living God is far greater than Abraham's is. Have you come to Christ as the only Saviour? Have you received Christ? Have you called on his name? Do you worship him and do you obey him? Well, I don't obey him perfectly. Nobody does. Of course you don't. That's the point. We're works in progress. Mm-hmm. But are you a work in progress? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have faith in the living God? Do you repent of your sins? Do you grow in holiness? And do you, what is it, the great, is it the desire of your heart, no matter how feebly, no matter how inconsistently, do you really want to be like Jesus Christ? Yeah. Do you really love God? Do you really love his people? And I know, I can tell the looks on your faces. You can't fake that look in your eyes. You are beautiful. Do you know that? You really are. You're amazing. No, I mean it. Seriously, I do. I mean it. You could give me a job in, make me a bishop in the House of Lords, or let me sit here with you people, and I'd say no. You can give me the paycheck that the people in the House of Lords get, but I'd rather be with you. You're amazing. But this is the faith of Abraham. This is God's call to Abraham, to Abram, excuse me. And it's God's call to us today to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen.